Do you remember how A Tale of Two Cities begins? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Well, that's how I felt as a teenager, but if it weren't for my mother, she knew how to approach me with the right spirit. Without her and God, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
It can be hard to have a compassionate spirit when it comes to teenagers. Today on Hope for the Heart, our host June Hunt begins her series, Helping Teens Through Turbulent Times. Joined by her Hope in the Night co-host Jim Kress, June helps parents and other caregivers as she looks at the transition from adolescence to teenager. Both parent and teen alike can be caught off guard by the spiritual, emotional, social, and physical changes that occur during this time. June shares how you can help your teen establish God-given goals. Let's begin today's broadcast as June helps you to parent your teen through turbulent times. Now here's June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
There are many, many wonderful teenagers. To stereotype all teenagers as troubled, as negative, as problematic would be wrong. Now, having said that, I do want to be realistic. Yes. I was a former youth director, and in seventh grade, they came in like lambs. But when they walked out of the ninth grade, they were lions, and it was a wild time. But I loved every minute of it. I loved what I could see as the potential, like diamonds in the rough. These kids all had divine potential. They were creations of God. And I think our view of teenagers should be positive. It should be look for what could happen if they allowed the Lord to truly refine them, to enable them to be all that He created them to be.
Well, June, we live in a technological age where they brag about satellites and antennas being able to pick up all kinds of... Teenagers have had great antennae for years to pick up on what you're talking about.
And they'll tend to stiff-arm those who are highly critical of them.
Yes.
There's a quote I'd like to mention. One man wrote this about adolescents. They now seem to love luxury. They have bad manners and contempt for authority. They show disrespect for adults and spend their time hanging around places, gossiping with one another. They are ready to contradict their parents, monopolize the conversation and company, eat gluttonously, and tyrannize their teachers. Well, I think it's interesting to note that this quote came from Socrates about 400 B.C. So these characteristic changes that occur from children to those who are adolescents, this is not anything new just in our culture for today. Apparently, every era has had its share of turbulent times with teens. And I want to emphasize, there is a reason why. More than anything, I would want us to have compassion for teenagers, understanding that they so desire, they crave to be in the in crowd.
Yes.
And even if they get in the in crowd, does that mean that they're going to stay in? Many that are in get pulled out or kicked out. Perhaps you even remember in your own teenage years climbing the ladder of popularity, and then you felt that someone was highly critical, and and another kid, you know, bit at your heels, and you felt that someone was grabbing at your ankle, trying to rip you off that ladder, just so that teenager could rise above you.
Well, June, I think of parents listening today who have had young kids. Kids that are pre-adolescent, pre-teenage years, and their kids seem to be very dependent on the parents and kind of an enjoyment. I know I enjoy my young kids, and there's a sense that I'm daddy and they really cling or depend on me.
Yes.
And then, you know, we dread, because of all that we've heard and some of what we've experienced, that these turbulent teenage years are coming upon us, and it's like we're afraid that the bottom's going to drop out, and maybe in some cases it does, and we're kind of all tensed up and thinking, oh, here comes the big change.
Well, there are changes on all fronts. There are emotional changes, there are social changes, there are physical changes, and they not only catch the parents off guard, but they catch the kids off guard. Most kids don't anticipate all that's going to happen to them, even if a parent is conscientious and seeks to explain puberty. It still is going to be a very difficult time of life.
And June, it seems like so many of these emotional struggles are caught up in a teenager's just an incredible search for their personal identity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. You see, they've moved away from that dependence that you were talking about, literally being dependent. A child, a little child, cannot survive without you as a parent providing food, clothing, shelter, the basic necessities of life. And now there's this transition away from parents to peers. And that means all of a sudden now, who am I? Dad has these values. Mom talks about these values. But wait a minute, what are my values? I'm not really sure. I always assumed they were right, but maybe they weren't. Who am I? What freedom should I have? Am I being restricted too much? Who do I really respect? I thought I respected my parents, but I'm hearing all this stuff about all my friends' parents that's not good, and I don't know, maybe I shouldn't respect my parents as much. And then there are the questions like, what can I do well? What am I going to do in life? What am I going to be in life?
Well, June, as you talk about compassion and you think of the changes that are going on, the social changes that teenagers are going through, and for parents, too, as well, seeing their teenagers just kind of maybe say, you know, see you later. I'm going to go off and do life my way. That this is a hard passage.
I can remember a parent in tremendous pain. This mother, in fact, she had tears in her eyes, and she said, I've just lost my best friend. She said, my daughter and I were just so close. And now she's intentionally not making good grades, and yet she was a straight-A student. And she's just pushing away from the family. I've lost her. And I said, you haven't lost her. Just know this is a stage. This is a time of life. And now is not forever. Inferiority. Many feel inferior, and they begin looking to their peers for approval, and they'll start changing friends. So you have a lot of rejection going on. There is a development of interest in the opposite sex, but not always reciprocated. There can be a sense of rejection there many times, and upheavals in terms of moods. The moods are fluctuating. They're desiring increased independence. They've, as I said before, they transfer allegiance from parents to peers, and yet peers many times are not trustworthy.
Right.
So these social changes certainly do not supply a strong foundation for life. And I want to make one strong suggestion. For parents or whoever would have teenagers for a period of time, this is an opportunity to plug them into a biblically-based youth group, a biblically-based Christ-centered church where there can be, yes, still the peer influence, but the greater opportunity now is for not just salvation, but growth in spiritual values. And so often they are looking for a role model. And instead of having some of the very unfortunate role models that seem to be prevalent today that bring down values, this is where a youth director can be the role model for that young person. This is where a strong, caring, compassionate Sunday school teacher can be a strong role model, because if they're pushing away from parents, they still are going to want somebody to attach to. And if there's someone who appears solid, who appears foundational, it can be literally an answer to prayer. And I will say that I, as a former youth director, had many kids. I could tell they just gravitated to me. I don't think it was because I was just so wonderful. They were looking for someone with whom to identify, somebody who would care for them, And even if they had the best parents in the world, they were pushing away from their parents. So,
yes.
Parents, be wise. Here's your golden opportunity. I can remember certain parents who actually changed churches, not because they wanted to change churches. They even told me, we were happy in our church, but we saw that your church had such a strong youth program. We felt this was essential for our teenager. And that may be something that you would want to pray about, to say, Lord, are we where we need to be for our teenagers? Let the Lord lead you. Pray for the Spirit's guidance, because you can know for sure, as Jesus said in John 16:13, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth and will tell you what is yet to come.
June will continue right after this as she looks at boundaries with teens. Life storms can destroy our lives in a way that makes recovery seem hopeless. June Hunt's book, Hope for Your Heart, provides hope for those trying to rebuild after losing their way in the storms. We would like to send you a copy of Hope for Your Heart as an expression of thanks for your gift of at least $25. And if you make that gift before the end of the month, we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Our order line is 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-HOPE, or you can visit us online at hopefortheheart.org.
I can remember when I was a teenager, and it was very stifling when we had to be so restricted in certain areas, and yet obviously, it takes great courage on the part of a parent to take a stand. And I think when we use that word boundaries, it helps for us all to realize boundaries are all around us. In fact, that would perhaps be one thing you would want to communicate to your kids. You know, we have boundaries all around us. We have curbs for drivers of cars. Students have tests in school. We have lines for athletes in sports. In fact, almost every teenager could identify with being involved in some sport, certainly watching sports that have boundaries.
Well, June, certainly those young and old will be able to relate to the analogy of the Olympics. There are boundaries all over the place.
Yes.
There are rules, guidelines, technicalities of you must do it this way or that way, and you can't just kind of go in there and set your own rules down, especially in an international Olympic setting.
Well, I believe the Olympics are the most watched event worldwide. In fact, Jim, I remember a gymnast who had phenomenal tumbling ability. She performed a floor exercise to music, yet toward the end when she was doing all these backward flips and handsprings, her foot landed just across the boundary line. And I believe they said that was an immediate 0.5 point deduction. And we could say that that might have almost cost the United States as a team the gold. So boundaries are all around us. And teenagers need boundaries. They need to know that when they stay within the boundaries that their parents set, there are positive consequences. And when they cross over the boundary line, there are negative consequences.
Well, June, as you and our listeners know, with the past series we've done on boundaries, we have been incorporating situations for our listeners to relate to and then getting a possible response. And we're going to continue doing that here on today's program. This situation says, suppose your teenager has a real attitude problem, arguing with you about almost everything, resisting your authority in every area, and being generally disrespectful. There is very little pleasant or positive conversation between the two of you, and you are having a great difficulty enjoying your teen's company at any time or under any circumstance. What would you do in that scenario?
Well, Jim, one thing that I think is always important is to try to begin with something positive. Therefore, communicate to your teen that you know that he or she wants to be treated with respect, and that you will make every effort to treat your teen with respect. likewise state that you expect to be treated with respect from now on. This means that having a bad attitude, being argumentative, defying authority, things of that sort, will no longer be tolerated. And so now you have to present what the negative consequence will be. Should excessive arguing or the resisting of authority occur, the consequence will be that you won't stay around to listen to it. You will physically withdraw from your teen's presence, or your teen will leave your presence. Now, Jim, some people may say, well, my teen doesn't stay around me that much anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is no big deal. Yeah. What's so new about this?
Right.
Is that really a consequence? Well, what you're saying is we're not going to go to war. There is not going to be a war. That basically what is said will be said, and there's a way to do this. But you're not going to be talking about this for the next 6 hours.
But June, what do you do when you're a teenager, no matter what you try, no matter what boundary you try to set down, they're tenacious in what they do. Mm-hmm. They are going to win this battle. They're not going to give up.
Well, you will have communicated that if they don't drop it, all privileges, that could mean with a car, dates, parties, all social gatherings, even the telephone, will be on hold until the two of you can respectfully talk with one another about what needs to be discussed. Now, if the back talk continues after you've made your position clear regarding an issue, all privileges will not only be put on hold, but also previously planned activities will have to be canceled. And the point is, Jim, that if the son or daughter crossed the boundary, there needs to be a negative consequence in order to stop that type of behavior.
June, what about the teenager who, as the old analogy goes, is obeying the parent externally? They may say, I'll take out the trash or I'll come home on time, but in my heart, I'm still sitting in here on the couch. I may be physically taking the trash out and obeying, but inside, I am rebelling against you.
I'm sitting in the corner, but in my heart, I'm standing up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jim, when there has been a clear-cut case of disrespect, an apology is necessary. And even if it's not meant from the heart, it teaches what is right. You can't make a person be repentant in the heart, but the words that you say can be taken by the Spirit of God and later on convict that son or daughter in the heart.
June, talk to the parent for a moment who is listening to you and says, you know, there was a time when I felt like I had good communication with my kids. They responded to me. Oh, there might have been basic rebellion along the way, as kids will do. But now I don't even know if I know my teenager. I don't know if they respond to me at all. I don't know if we ever hit on the same wavelength communication.
Well, you may not be on the same wavelength in a lot of areas, but your child still needs to know that you care about them. Even if they think that you're an old fuddy-duddy or whatever the terminology may be, invest care in your teenager by making a concerted effort to talk with your teen about some topic of interest. It could be about one of their friends. It could be about a particular course and, you know, what's the most challenging part about math? I mean, that's a safe area. I mean, they could say I hate it or I love it, or I mean, I loved math, hated English, you know. So, and I could talk passionately about both of those. But try to move to the feeling level, from the factual level to the feeling level. Also, plan some family fun activities or special activities with your teen. And be open to including some of your teenager's friends. They really appreciate that. And plan to spend as much time as possible at home so that you will be available should there be an opportunity for positive interaction with your teenager. And the last thing I would mention right now is look for positive things to praise in your teen and offer encouragement whenever possible. You can find your teenager doing something good and snatch that opportunity when you can.
Well, June, for the parent who wants to set a healthy boundary with their teenager, they know they must in some way communicate to that teenager, this is the boundary
yes.
I'm setting for you. But they don't quite know how to verbalize that. What do they say in that scenario?
Well, you're right. Boundaries must be clearly communicated. Perhaps you could begin this way. I want you to know that I genuinely love you and am concerned about our relationship. Unfortunately, we've established a negative pattern of interaction which is unpleasant and unproductive. And I think you would agree that it's dishonoring to the Lord. Now, I also know that the Lord holds me primarily responsible. Therefore, you'll be relieved that I'm not going to engage in those kinds of negative conversations with you anymore. Now, here comes the boundary in terms of the consequence. Instead, I'll state what I believe is best for you when an issue comes up. Then, if you think there's something I don't understand, I'll listen to your position once. And I'm going to emphasize the once. After that, I'll make every effort to be fair and then to state my decision only once to you. I'll not repeat myself or argue my case. I'll expect you to accept what I've said. Even if you disagree with me, I want us to confine our conversations to positive, meaningful interactions because I do love you and want our relationship to improve. Now, Jim, that sets up the situation that if the teen keeps coming at you, keeps pressing, then you state that you leave me no choice but to start withdrawing privileges. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, that's your decision that you're making. You could say, I don't want to withdraw privileges. So ultimately, it's all in your hands. Take to heart Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel.
Hi, this is Paul for Hope for the Heart. Do you know four key points that will help you prepare your teen for life? These points, plus more, are in June Hunt's book, Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. You can order your personal copy of this book and the audio series on teenagers by visiting hopefortheheart.org, hopefortheheart.org, or call 1-800-488-HOPE. That's 1-800-488-4673. And here in the month of June, we have a special focus we call June in June. We're asking that you take a few minutes to share how God has changed your life through this ministry. These notes are not to honor June. They simply give us the opportunity to rejoice with you over your changed life. Visit hopefortheheart.org or send your notes to Hope for the Heart, 2001 Plano Parkway, Suite 1000, Plano, Texas, 75075.
This month, Hope for the Heart has a special offer to help you and help others. For your gift of $25 to support our ministry, we'll send you a copy of June's book, Hope for Your Heart, as a way of saying thanks. And we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Call 1-800-488-HOPE or visit us online at hopefortheheart.org.
It's not easy being a teenager, and being a parent can be pretty tough as well. Hope for the Heart is committed to bringing biblical hope and practical help to individuals and families who listen to this station. You can learn more about this ministry and how you can partner with us through prayer and giving when you visit our website at hopefortheheart.org or call 1-800-488-HOPE. You can also reach out to parents with the resources you've heard about today. It's a great way to share hope. Listen to how one listener used these materials to help herself and others.
Thank you so much for your excellent book, Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. I'm using it with a mother's group at school.
Now, here's June once again with a closing word of hope from God's Word.
Some people are convinced that teenagers are just trouble. Those years are tough enough, but when you do your best and still feel the disapproval of many adults, it's even harder. Perhaps you will find reassurance from 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity.